It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5 today. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to visit our website, and I sure hope that you do, we have many messages there, the plan of salvation as well as our constitution, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, prepare for the study. I'm going to begin reading now Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written therein and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, like it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And it came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us into our king, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're going to stop the reading there. What a precious part of Scripture. Please that you just follow along with me if you can. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to open your precious word, to be able to read it, to fellowship with you over it. We ask that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he will guide and lead us through this study today. He will show us your truths, and please that we don't miss one part. And we know, dear Lord, that it's your living word. So every time we study the verses, the same verses, even over and over again, every time, every day, you will show us the way to deal with that day. You will give us the wisdom that we need for that day. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us now and show us these precious verses today and touch every heart. Those that do not know you as their Savior need to be saved. Said right here that with the blood, and please, was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred. Now, Father, we know that back in your precious word, it tells us that we must be born again. We must come by faith and believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross and took their sins away. So please, that there not be one person that is so tied up with religion that has missed that being born again. This applies to all born-again believers, not to all. It's not a universal salvation. Father, guide and lead us now as we study this today. Touch every heart. Bring the lost to you for salvation and the saved to grow and be more powerful for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we now take these scriptures, and the last time we were together, and I'm going to take just a minute to do it again. It's just too important. You know, we have gotten to this fifth chapter, and this fifth chapter is a transition. It's a change here. The first chapter, again, we saw the vision of the glorified Christ in the majesty and glory of His second coming. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, we enjoy the study of the seven local churches in Asia Minor. And we talked about the history that was there concerning those literal churches and also the church ages we talked about. And we are now in the Laodicean church age. And when the Laodicean church has its run, has run its full course, the true church will be caught up. And we're very close to that time right now. Not only are these churches, all seven churches in existence today, they were in existence of this day, but there were seven church ages. And so one of these churches each time, as we studied that, is a period of time, and it prevailed stronger than the others. As today, we are in the Laodicean church age, which God is very upset with, because He says, you know, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. There is nothing good about the Laodicean church age. Yet there are still true professing Christians. And there's still the true church is still here, even though we're in that time period. Then we come to chapter 4, and we see that John is caught up into heaven in the Spirit. And he sees Christ upon the throne, and we look at all His glory in the description there. And John hears and sees the praise of all that are in heaven. And so as we look now at those things, now we come to chapter 5. And that was kind of a review, as this is still, because we got just a little bit further. But up until now, John has noticed only Jesus, but all of a sudden he begins to notice that there is another sitting on the throne, and in his hand is a little book, and the other one that's sitting on the throne is none other than God the Father, the great I Am, Jehovah. And so we find that he is holding a book, and this is in the first verses of chapter 5. I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This book, the Greek word for this book is scroll, and so this scroll is rolled up, and it's a roll of parchment that's sealed with seven seals, and so a certain part of it can be opened, and then we have to open another seal to go a little further and to go a little further. And so I hope that you get that in your mind of how this works. Heaven seems to come to a standstill during this time. And the reason for it is because there is a search that goes out for one that can open this book, this parchment, this scroll, and undo these seals so we can see what's in it. And as of so far in the first verses of chapter 5, no one has been found. And it is quite a search. No one is worthy to break these seals and to open the book and to read what's there. And until that person be found, nothing further can come. Nothing further is going to happen until that takes place. Everything hinges and depends upon finding one who is worthy to remove the seven seals and to make known the message that's found here in this book. This little book, a scroll, it contains the revelation. It contains the account of all that is to follow. as having to do with God's last dealings with man, with angels, with saints, with Israel, and with all of his creation. That's what's coming. This little book, sealed with seven seals, contains the redemption terms, the redemptive terms for the earth. Jesus redeemed the soul at Calvary. Now, we're going to take a look at these because I want you to see some beautiful verses. And again, we have come down through the first four verses of chapter 5, and we started with verse 4, really, because he says, I wept much, John did, because no man was found to finish this work. And so we look at this little book now, and it contains, again, the redemption and the terms of that redemption for the earth. Jesus redeemed us. He redeemed us with his own precious blood on Calvary. And we have some verses of Scripture here that you can't miss because they're too important. And it is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Now, please listen very carefully. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 18. And it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. You see where that gets you? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A lot of people just talk about the death of the Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, but that is where his blood was shed for you and for me, with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, was made manifest in these last times for you. This plan has been forever. God didn't just look around and say, I'm going to have to do something. You know, that's what we do. I'll have to have a plan. Better have a program. That's not God's way. God knows the future. He's known the future since the beginning, before the beginning, because he is forever. And he set forth how this was going to take place. And now verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. One more verse, verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Have you missed that? And again, it clearly says that he says, you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. And that corruptible things can be any rule and law that your church has put into place for salvation. Salvation is by and only by the grace of God. If you're following any other means, it is not according to the word of God. And if you're going by any other means, you're going to be in hell. And I sure don't want that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what church you belong to. I just ask and I plead with you today that you are born again. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, you must be born again. Read these verses of Scripture for me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin up there in that 18th verse as we did, or back up further. I don't care, because that's how I got saved. I was reading just the single verses of Scripture, and I realized, wait a minute, they're taking that out of context. So I began to read ahead of it and afterward, and I found out they were not taking it out of context. Actually, the church that I was attending had taken it out of context. And I praise God that the Holy Spirit showed me His Word, showed me the way of salvation, that by grace and grace alone I could be saved. And I asked Jesus to save me. I believed in Him, and He saved me. And I've been saved now ever since 1975. Oh, what a glorious day. And so please, that you trust in Jesus Christ. I was very religious, worked in church, served in church. Lost as lost can be. And so please trust in Jesus today so you can be born again and be saved. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, read whatever you want to read, but please read those verses of Scripture that salvation can be yours, because Jesus redeemed the soul on Calvary, and that's how He did it, at Calvary. Now, Jesus will also redeem the body. See, this here, my soul has been redeemed. It's redeemed right now, and if I would die right now, my body would go down to the grave, but my soul would go right up into the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for that. But how about my body? Well, let's go to 1 John. If you know your Bible, you realize that, 1 John is between 1 Peter here and Revelation. We have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So go to 1 John, go to chapter 3, and we're going to read the first two verses of that chapter. There are many verses that confirm these scriptures, but I'm just taking a few, and please, if you have a reference Bible or a study Bible, you can see the cross references and look all those up for me if you would. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." What a glorious day. And that day that that's talking about is the rapture of the church. The day that Jesus is going to come, meet us in the air, and take us home to be with Him bodily. Bodily. For those that had to face the graves will be opened, and their soul and body will be reunited. They'll have their glorified bodies as Jesus' glorified body. If we're still alive, and some will be, if we're still alive, we will follow those from the grave, and we too will receive our glorified bodies. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And so that's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If you want to look that up a little later, again, read some other verses. And if you see, again, have the cross-reference Bible, I hope that you do, so you can look up some other cross-references. And there's some wonderful verses of Scripture in Thessalonians concerning this. Now, Jesus will also redeem the earth and all creation. And this is going to happen during the time of the removal of the seven seals from the scroll. So, the redemption of the soul has already taken place. The redemption of the body, as we look here in Revelation with John, that also has taken place. It has not today, but here it has. Because, see, John is the church is taken up at the close of the Laodicean church. When everything gets so liberal, and my land, I can't believe where some people go to church and call it worship. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to studying the Word of God, verse by verse in the Scripture. What's happened to us? Why do we have to have this social organization today and we call it the church? No, call it a country club or call it something else, but please don't call it a church. And maybe you've been caught up in, oh, it may you feel so good and it's so exciting what they have for the young people and all this. Are you learning the Word of God? Is the plan of salvation preached by grace and grace alone? Please, examine your own heart to see that you're born again. If you're not, then ask Jesus into your heart today. If you are born again, then you examine where you're going. Time is too short, and you're risking the life of your children. If you're not someplace that's a good, solid foundation, we use King James Bible. We stand upon the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. We have Bible studies, Sunday school classes. We preach verse by verse from the pulpit. We have Bible study on Sunday night, Bible study on Tuesday afternoon, and Bible study on Wednesday night. The reason that we don't just have the message from Sunday morning to go across the radio, we do a Bible study on that, verse-by-verse study, so you can, number one, come to Jesus, and number two, grow, and number three, if you choose not to trust in Jesus, you're going to stand without an excuse before a holy, just God, before He condemns you and casts you into the lake of fire forever. I hope that doesn't take place in your life. Please trust in Jesus today. Redemption of the earth and all creation during the removal of these seven seals of this scroll. And we've got a verse of scripture back in Romans to look at. Romans chapter 8. You can hear the pages turning. I hope that you're doing the same, have the opportunity to. I repeat the verses several times so that you have time to find it and or could look at it later. Romans chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So not only do we have spoken of here the creation and it needing to be delivered, but also it does speak of ourselves needing to be delivered, because, yes, we're born again, we're saved, but we still live in the old body. And so we moan and groan because of it. Going to be a glorious day that will be made whole in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that He has done. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. In order to understand this seven-sealed book, we must return back to some Old Testament scripture verses. And I want you to listen very carefully as we kind of summarize what we're going to be talking about here. And again, we have the one, the Lord Jesus. It says here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Himself. And so, as we look at this book now and the need to open it up and what it is, again, the Old Testament, I hope that you have made an extensive study of the Old Testament, because if you know especially the books of Moses, and you say, well, I don't know there's a book of Moses. I didn't know that. The books of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the books of Moses. And so please that you study those clearly, and it will help you so much to understand the New Testament. If you haven't studied Leviticus, you cannot understand the book of Hebrews. Leviticus and Exodus, those two, and you come now to Hebrews after studying those, this is so clear Of course, that has to come after you're born again. Scripture verse confirms Scripture. And if you want to find the truth, you look for one Scripture and then find another that will seal that. And so this is what we're doing here. The system of laws and regulations are many when it comes to Israel and their dealings with God. There are three concerning redemption. The law of redemption concerning a wife. If a husband died, leaving no children, the husband's brother was to take his widow, so that his name would not die. But he must first be able to support the brother's widow. If he could not financially care for her, he had no right to take her. Jesus, with his own blood, look at Acts with me, chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So you see, when it comes to the death of the husband, and if the brother is unable to take care of her and take care of things, he was not able, he could not do it. However, Jesus, my point is here, he is worthy to open these seals. He is worthy to purchase us because with his own blood, according to Acts 20:28, redeemed the bride, which is the church, that's you and me if you're born again. And Jesus was able, and he was the only one that could redeem man. He had to be able to pay the price. The second, the law of redemption concerning a slave. Now, the law of redemption concerning a slave. If a man lost all that he had and could not pay his bills, his creditors could take him as a slave. Remember, Adam lost all when he sinned, and we thus became slaves to sin, by nature the children of wrath. When he served 6 years as a slave, he was automatically free. During the time of creation, God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested from all of his labor. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that one day is as 1,000 years. And with the Lord, and 1,000 years is the same as one day. Nearly 6,000 years have passed through human history to this point. 6,000 years. In God's mind, how many days is that? 6 days. Man has been a slave to sin for 6,000 years or 6 days. The devil's day is about over. So you see, slave to sin. Couldn't pay the debt. We couldn't pay the debt. We also have the law of redemption concerning the land. If a man lost his property, he was then taken before the judges, and the document was prepared stating that the land had passed from one who owed the debt to the one whom the debt was owed. The man who owned the land gave a paper to his creditor, making the land the possession of the creditor. And then comes the year of Jubilee. Until then, until the year of Jubilee, which was the 50th year, there was only two ways. either he paid himself or a kinsman. Now, I sure don't like it, but we're just out of time. So we're going to review this, and we'll start again next week, next time we come together. My dear friend, please study your word. What are you going to do about Jesus?